1 Kings chapter number 19. Our text will be found in the latter part of that chapter. We'll read verse 15 and read on through the rest of the chapter. And then we'll praise the Lord for a little while. Amen. Chapter 19, the book of 1 Kings, verse number 15. And the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him," this is speaking to Elijah, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimoholah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah, passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. "And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." Thank the Lord. Lord, we pray you bless this word this morning. Pray you have your will, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I would like to get a little personal with you this morning. Would that be all right? A little personal, just simply preach my heart. That's what I want to do to you this morning. And this is a message that the Lord dealt with my heart about. And throughout this week, the Lord gave me this message on Thursday night. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I thank the Lord for this morning. But this message has come from many nights here recently of conviction and prayer in the altar and this week specifically, and in this in the times when you're thinking about quitting and you're thinking about giving up, ain't it good that God's still there? Amen. Opening your eyes to things. He's still showing you things. And here in this text, in the 19th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, there we find many events have unfolded in the life of this man named Elisha up to this point. Many things have unfolded. And in this chapter alone, you can read and see how he falls into pride and becomes discouraged and becomes defeated. And you'll then see him as he runs into the wilderness and prays to die. He said, "I pray thee, take my life. I don't want to be here anymore." Then you'll see him make a journey up to Mount Horeb and to seek a word from the Lord as he finds himself up there. And then the Lord confronts Elijah. And as he confronts him, he shows him that the root of his problem was that he allowed his circumstances in his life to blot out the face of God. Right? Amen. Verse 13 and verse 14 tells us there, as we read it, "And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah?" Second time he's asking that. He goes on complaining a little bit more, but you'll find Elijah standing in the mouth of the cave in those two verses, in the mouth of that cave on Mount Horeb there. And as he's up there, he's wrapped his face in his mantle. That is his jacket, that is his coat, his cloak. He's wrapped his face in that mantle and responding to God's question. Even in verse number 14, he's still defeated. He's still discouraged. He's still down and out. He's still complaining to God. He says the same exact thing that he says in verse number 10. In verse number 14, he says the same exact thing there. He says, I've been very jealous for the Lord. Then he goes on and he says, for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken their covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain their prophets with the sword. And I am only left. I'm the only one left, he says. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Anybody ever been there? Feel like you're the only one left serving the Lord. You're the only one in your household serving the Lord. You're the only one in your church serving the Lord. You're the only one in your county serving the Lord. Whatever it may be. But God had a plan for Elijah. And he goes on and he tells him, as all of that kind of stuff is coming, he's still complaining about the mess that's in his life. And as these events continue to unfold in the closing verses of this chapter, we're allowed to see the fact that God is not yet finished with Elijah. Amen. This is encouraging me. There was a day when this prophet had ridden high in the saddle for God, if you will. He's ridden high in the saddle, but like many of us others probably do, at some point in time, he got thrown off the horse of service, and I'm being metaphorically speaking, he got thrown off of all of that, and was left wounded somewhere. He's been chased by a wicked king, Ahab. They've chased him. They're chasing him. They want him killed. That wicked king's wife's name's Jezebel. She wants all of them killed. Anyone that believes in God, she wants them dead and out of that place. She don't want any of that. But there was a day when he had ridden high and done the things of God. But he got in that place. He got wounded. He had the wind knocked out of him. All of that kind of stuff took place. And all of these events in chapter have been leading up to what is taking place in these verses that we just read this morning. In these verses, and you know, here we get to see Elijah as he decides this. I'm going to get up and go on for the glory of God. He decides that at that point in time, I'm going to get up. And I just want to say this morning. I don't know where you are, but personally, I don't want to raise up my son and one day him look at me or have to tell somebody else some blessed day to tell them that my dad used to be. Amen. My dad's a used to be. He used to be a pastor. He used to be a preacher. He used to be serving God. He used to be doing that kind of thing. This man, Elijah, was done. He said, kill me, Lord. I'm done. I quit. I'm done with this type of thing. God brings him out of his valley and puts him in the thick of the battle for the glory of God. You know, Elijah's life's not done at this point. Read all the way up to 2 Kings chapter number 2 and you'll find where Elisha takes over this man's mantle. This man was a man of God. Telling you right now, this man was a man of God. He come after Joshua and all them people. He come in this thing and God anointed him afresh. I mean, he done so much for the glory of God. But friend, God wants to do the same to you. I don't care where you are this morning. Amen. I do not care where you are this morning. God wants to use you. Everybody in here, God wants to use you. You believe that? God showed me some things here, and I believe I will have to say I want to keep this as my life message. But here's a few things as a means of intro this morning. We see in verse number 1 through verse number 4 the misery of Elijah. Elijah, he's sitting there. He said, Ahab told Jezebel all the things Elijah had done with all, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not this life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. Does that sound familiar? You ever sit under a tree and just whine? Yeah, I mean, just pout on. Jonah done it. There's many more that done it in their day. I mean, just pout. just pout on about the things of God. Listen, I've done it. I've done it many times, friend. I mean, oftentimes I'll get caught up in things that's going on. Nobody wanting to be faithful. Nobody wanting to do this. And it bothers me. I'll be honest. It bothers me. But I tell you something, friend. That does not give me the reason or you to quit. Yeah, man, and he's going down, he's whining, he requested for himself, Lord, just kill me, he might die, and said, it is enough, Lord, now, oh Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than the fathers, I'm not better than my fathers or any of that. So he's in misery. We see Elijah running in verse number 1 through 3. He's running. He said, don't you know this, that you can't go too far for God? Don't you know that?
Amen.
Yeah, man. Then we see Elijah retiring. He's running, now he's retiring. He's done. He said, I'm done with this mess. I'm done. Then we see Elijah rationalizing, right? We see him rationalizing there. Here the man of God is trying to justify his reason to die. That's what the word rationalizing means. He's justifying his reason to die. So we see the misery of Elijah from the beginning. Then we see the ministry of Elijah, verses 5 through verse number 14. It's a ministry of consideration. He goes through verse 5 through verse number 8. It tells us, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. I tell you something, friend. There's a lot of things that will happen. There's a lot of things that take place in our lives. But I tell you one thing, you probably all amen this one. There's a lot of things that a nap and a snack can do for you. Amen. There's a lot of things that a nap and a snack can do for you. When you're hurt, go to sleep or something. You need to mend or you're going to hurt somebody else. Amen. I tell you something, friend, is that oftentimes I'll find myself on Sunday night wanting to quit at some time. Every Monday morning I want to quit. Seriously. Almost every Monday morning, you want to quit. I want to quit. But I tell you, is that as we get into that and as we find that, I make sure I do not open my Bible and start studying my message for Wednesday night till I mend. You know why? Because if I do, I'm going to get up here and I'm going to blow all y'all out of the water. Seriously. I make sure that I don't get up here with a hurt heart or a hardened heart. First, I just get in my prayer. Pray. I keep praying. I keep praying. When life seems so unfair, I keep praying because I know He answers prayers. And what I'm going to do is when I'm in that point of my life, I am absolutely going to consider some things before I get into that point. Before I ever open up my Bible to study for Wednesday night. Y'all thank me for that one day. I promise you. But he wants to quit, but God still provides, and he don't understand it. He's thinking, man, God is still helping me. Why in the world am I quitting? Right? Verse 8, he tells us there, and he arose and did eat and drink. God sent an angel. By the way, God sent an angel, sent him some meat, some all this kind of stuff, a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and he drank and laid him down again. He took a nap again. Verse 8, and he rose and did eat and drink and went into the place. Strength of that meat for 40 days and 40 nights. Sound a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? 4 days and 40 nights up on Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came, well, I won't read that verse. He headed up to Horeb. He's headed up to Horeb at this point in time, and then he goes on, and then we find that not only is a ministry of consideration, it's a ministry of compassion. Verse number 9, and he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. What y'all think about that? He said to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here? He's there in this place, and he is not wanting to talk to God. Y'all realize that he's wanting to quit on God, right? God's still deciding he's going to speak to him. And aren't you glad even in the times when you want to quit on God, he don't want to quit on you? Compassion. Compassion, friend. It's a ministry of compassion. Then it's a ministry in verse number 9, at the end of it, through verse number 14, and that's where Elijah is talking to God. God's talking to Elijah, and so on through all that. It's a ministry of confrontation. God got to this point, and God found him. And don't you know, friend, that God will confront us whether we like it or not? You don't have to be in deep sin. He's going to confront you and straighten you out. He's going to confront you and straighten you out. And that's just how God works. Thank God for that. It's a ministry of confrontation. But Elijah, in this whole life, as he went through this, he went through misery. He went through this ministry. But then Elijah, we find in the verses we read this morning, the mending of Elijah. The mending of Elijah. This morning we're going to preach on these verses, and it was grace that God got him here. Right? God got him through this situation. God brought him into this place. And I'm pretty convinced that there was a huge reason why he continued on. Why God displayed his grace on Elijah. I believe there was a big reason for why. Sure, he went through misery. God sent a ministry of angels to come along his way so he could get to this mending stage. All of this took place. But there's a huge reason for it. Huge. I believe there's a huge reason, and that's what we're going to try to do this morning. And here's my personal thought. Give me him. Give me him for just a second, please, McKinney. Here's my personal thought. I told you I was going to get personal with you. Come here, boy. I told you I was going to get personal with you. I'm not going to preach with him in my arms for long, but this is what I'm going to preach on this morning. If it's just for Elisha, I'll go on. If it's just for Elisha, I'll go on. If it's just for him, I have a personal, this is personal to me, y'all. It's personal to you, JD. It's personal to all of us in this place. If it's just for Elisha, I'll go on. I believe that was a big reason why Elijah decided to go on. I believe there was a big three. I got three things for you this morning that I'm going to get to. And I'm going to try to get to the third one fast and preach on it for a little bit. There's a lot of things in our life that we tend to overlook when it comes to times of quitting. Number one, I want you to notice it involved a new commission. Verse number 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah," I can't say that, "shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha shall slay." There's a new commission on his board. There's a new commission in verse number 13 through verse number 14 tells us that Elijah is asked the question, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Elijah. "What doest thou here, Elijah? Why are you here at this point in time?" Elijah, his response is still that same old whiny answer. Listen, I want you to note this morning. God's question is present tense. "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And I'm going to get that wrong the whole time. "What doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here?" But Elijah's answer is past tense. How about that? He says, verse number 13, "And it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out." Excuse me, verse number 14. "What doest thou here?" You're here right now, Elijah. "And he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord." I have been very jealous of the Lord. And as we see that, friend, it does not matter what you've done in your past to the Lord, for the Lord, or anything else. It does not matter. The question is, what are you doing today? What are you doing today for the Lord? This time, God sets Elijah straight and tells him how things really are. Tells him how things really are. You know, God likes to get down to the nitty-gritty of things. Will you come get him, please? God likes to get to the nitty-gritty of things. God likes to get to the low places of life. And God likes to do all of this kind of stuff. And as we see this in our life, we're going to find out that God's got a threefold plan for Elijah. He's got a threefold plan for Elijah to get him back up and keep going. Amen. Let's consider that plan. We see it's a commission of promise. A commission of promise. Verse number 15, he says, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. He's telling him here, he says, Elijah is told to return to Israel through Syria. Return to Israel through Syria. There he is to anoint two kings and a prophet. He's to anoint two kings and a prophet, and he is given an important assignment from the Lord. And he is given evidence that the Lord is not finished with his life, thank God. Amen, friend. Surely that was encouragement to the man of God. Surely that was encouragement to the man of God. It would do those who have wandered off from the Lord's plan. Oftentimes it would do those if they would come before him this morning. If you wandered off from the Lord's plan, I don't know who you are. But I just know what God's given me this morning. Confess that they have sinned. And ask him for a new assignment in their life. The Lord is faithful, right? He will forgive you and he'll use you again. I'm glad about that. If you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just. Forgive us of all of our sins. Cleanse from all unrighteousness. That's what he says. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. As we see all this, some men sin and they never reach the level of service and usefulness that they knew before they sinned. You say, well, how do you know that? 2 Samuel chapter number 11, you'll find this man by the name of David. David was a mighty man of valor. Before and after, he was a mighty man of valor. But he lost a lot of his oomph after that sin. He did. Others sin and see their dreams vanish away before their very eyes. Moses, Numbers chapter number 9, you'll find that his dreams vanished. Yet others are given a second chance at ministry. Jonah. And the Lord spoke unto Jonah for the third time. Three times. And that third time he gave up, and immediately the well spit him on dry ground. There's some dry ground experiences in the Bible that we need to get a hold of sometimes. And in our life, there's some dry ground that God will take us through the Red Sea, friend. But there's some dry ground that when we get off path from God, that when we do get right back and repent, he'll spit us on dry ground again. I don't know what the point of that is. I don't know what the thought of that is. But I believe we could find ourselves in a place as they were going through that Red Sea, right? Through the blood. It's the top of the blood. They were going through that Red Sea on dry ground. Jonah was saved. He's just out of the will of God. And when he repented, God put him right back to the place where he started. In the blood. On dry ground. Man, ain't that good. Thank God. You'll find Jonah. He got a second chance. You'll find this man by the name of Peter. He denied the Lord three times. But yet you'll find in Acts chapter number 2 where he got a second chance at ministry. Ain't that good? He got a second chance at ministry. He preached in Pentecost, friend. He preached the house down is what he did. He had it all. You never know which one yours will be. But I'll tell you this much. Are you willing to take the chance that a little fling ain't the end of you? And that all of this kind of stuff comes down to it. However, the best of a course of action is to do all things God's way and avoid all the trouble that comes with rebellion. I can't remember where it's at. I'll find it and I'll let you know. It's in Samuel. And you'll find that the Bible says that the sin of rebellion is that sin of witchcraft. Y'all believe in witchcraft? You believe in it? Yeah. It's real. It's real. You believe it works? No. Witchcraft is what you'd call Ouija boards. There's a bunch more things. Anybody help me there? There's a bunch of things that has to do with witchcraft. But the Bible says that the sin of rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. God help us. God help us, friend. I tell you something, that we don't want to get in rebellion like Elijah, though. You might not ever be what you were before. Might not be. He done raised some people up from the dead. He done all that. And to this point, he's already done that. He's done called fire down from heaven. Right? I mean, that's one chapter four. He done called fire down from heaven. He's seen God move. And fire drop down on water, by the way. Burn the whole thing up. And those people that worship Baal couldn't get their God to move a lick. He's seen God move. He's seen a big hand come out of the sea, friend. He's seen God move. But he's still wanting to quit. He wanting to die. My, my, my. Well, you can still go on for the blessing of God. You might, for the glory of God, you might not ever, ever, ever be who you used to be. But you can still go on. If you're wallowing in a pit of depression, or why not bring that to the Lord? Listen, I believe in depression. I believe in anxiety. I believe in all that. I believe it's real. If you don't, I'm sorry. The Bible says that Jesus was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death, when he was in Gethsemane. He was pretty anxious about some things. I'm just saying, all I'm saying, friend, is that God's plans for our lives would be something that would be... If God didn't have a plan for your life, you'd be in heaven already. Amen. God help us. It's a commission of promise, commission of peace, verse 16 through 17. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi... We've read those verses a few times. You understand it. As Elijah hears the commands, he hears these commands he's been given by the Lord, and he hears that he's supposed to anoint a man by the name of Jehu to be king over Israel. Everybody caught that? Anybody catch that? Anybody get that? King over Israel. Now, I want you to know who was chasing him. Ahab, which was the king over Israel. It's peace for Elijah. It's peace. It's a declaration of peace. This is music to the ears of Elijah. This meant that Ahab and his reign of the wickedness would be coming to an end. That's what it meant. God gives him a promise in verse number 17 that his enemies will perish as they deserve to. What all this means for Elijah is that in the end, he and his message will be clear. It'll be provoked, not provoked. It will be promoted. Rather, in other words, all the events and the trials that have taxed Elijah's physical and spiritual and mental reserves are coming to an end. I know I'm preaching about him, so she'll be right back. Is that because I want to be personal with it. I really do. Is that when we come all of this, this is God's promise to Elijah that he can outlast his battles. He can come out on the other side. You know only thing, you know what a valley is? An upside down mountain. Amen. That's what a valley is. And in order to, there's always two sides to that valley. And on both sides, there's a mountain. You just got to be willing to climb. You're going to go through valleys. You're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through trials, but you just got to be willing to keep climbing. Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb. Because if you move that mountain, I'll grow weaker every time. That's how it is, friend. God puts valleys in our life to make us stronger, because God knows what's about to take place on that mountaintop. Amen, friend. This is a God's promise to Elijah that he can outlast his battles. He can do all that. Friend, you might be walking through some very difficult and deep valley in your life, but I'm glad to tell you, friend, that valleys are not forever. Amen, thank God. Listen, there's been worse sicknesses than COVID that's ever come across this world. There's been things happen. They have lasted through it. We might not ever get out of this mess that we are in on this side of heaven. But for the saint of God in this building this morning, it will end one day. When we cross over the Jordan River into that celestial city above, friend, it will not be there, thank God. It will end. Trials do end. They do end. I know we can preach to the choir all day long, but trials do end. Friend, there will come a day just as sure as there is a God in heaven when you will walk out of the valley with your head held high. Amen. God is faithful and He'll see you through the difficult days you face. He's faithful. You'll go through this world. And yes, there will be valleys. Yes, there will be trials. Yes, there will be struggles and problems and anxiety and depression. But the God we serve is greater than these things. Amen. And He'll give us victory. Amen, friend. Thank God. In fact, He already has given us victory. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:57, I think He said 2 Corinthians 4:17. We find this. God will bring us through. He's already given us the victory. We are winners. Y'all realize that, right? Thank God. As David reminded us in Psalms in chapter 23 and verse number 4, though yea, though I walk through the valley as the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head, my cup runneth over, and so on and so on and so on and so on. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell. Dwell. And by the way, that word, dwell, it is not what you know as a tabernacle. A tabernacle is what you know as a place that will once be over. A place, it's a resting place basically. But that dwelling place, that's something that we will be there with Him, dwelling, living there. It's a house. Amen. It ain't never going to end. When I get to heaven, Satan and his woes ain't going to pull me out. Neither are you. Amen, thank God. And David reminded us there that yea, though I walk through that valley, I'll fear no evil. Even though we walk through the deepest, darkest valleys imaginable, God will go with us to comfort us and protect us and bring us out through the other side. As Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 said, He'll never leave us, never forsake us. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says that He'll be with us always, even to the end of the world. There's so much that we could find. You can count on a friend like that. Amen. Yeah, man. Yeah, he didn't even know what exactly was coming for him. He didn't even know. But what he did is he chose to go on. It involved a new commission. Secondly, it involved a new comfort. Verse number 18, the Bible says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed into Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. He thought that he was the only one. He said it twice. I am only left, the only one that's left in this place. But can I just say this? He got the comfort of a kindred spirit. Twice Elijah had complained that he was all alone in his devotion to the Lord. However, God tells him there are 7,000 others who hadn't worshipped Baal, who haven't kissed him, haven't bowed to him, haven't done any of those things. Elijah was not alone. Oftentimes up here at this church, it feels like we're alone sometimes. But friend, can I tell you? If you'll get out of your turtle shell, right, you'll find you ain't alone. Oh my, amen. Amen, friend. Now listen, I feel alone sometimes too. Don't get me wrong. I feel that way. I mean, James can agree with it. All of us can agree with it. He gave me a good yeah. Sometimes you feel alone in this place. Feel like you're the only one been faithful. Feel like I'm the only one been faithful. Feel like I'm the only one preaching. I'm the only one doing this, living holy, doing this, separating, doing all this kind of stuff. I feel like it sometimes, but that's just the wiles of the devil. It's his method to get in your mind. He is the accuser of the brethren, by the way. That's what he wants to do. But friend, can I tell you, is that Elijah felt that way, but he found out he was not alone by the promises of God, and there are others who would stand with him, and he is given hope and encouragement. And friend, this is something we maybe all have done. All of us. But can I just tell you, you aren't alone today either. When it's discouragement, depression, sin, or anything else you may name, others, this is one of our biggest problems. Our biggest problem. I've seen it in people. I've counseled people who've dealt with it. I've dealt with it myself and all this kind of stuff. Here's our biggest problem. When we go through something, whether it be a death in the family, whether it be depression, whether it be anxiety, whether it be something hard in our life, whether it be a valley, trial, whatever it may be, we oftentimes think that we're the only ones ever been through it. The only one. Don't you know that this world has been around for 6,000 years? 6,000 plus years? Don't y'all know that, right? Don't you think somebody else has dealt with what you're going through? You might not be able to just find somebody that's went through it, but I'll tell you this much, you can probably find it in God's Word. Amen? Because God's Word's true. It's basic instructions. It's going to help you along the way. And friend, I tell you is that when we find all this kind of stuff in our life, even if no human comfort can ever be found, even if no human comfort can ever be found, the Lord knows what you're going through. And He's a very present help in time of trouble. That's what the Bible says. Amen. God knows. God knows. He's been through most of it. God went through depression. He went through anxiety. He went through pain. He went through agony. He went through torment. He went through bullying. He went through all that kind of stuff. That's what God done. He just went through it all. But friend, let us not forget to turn to Him when we need to have a help. We need help with something, right? We need to turn to Him. The comfort of a kindred spirit. The comfort of a knowledgeable Savior. Thank the Lord. Amen. In this verse, Elijah is reminded again that he is serving a big God. Amen, friend. Y'all know y'all got the same God as Elijah. Amen. The Lord would merely just confirm what Elijah already knew. Elijah knew he had people. Elijah knew that God is in the knowing business, friend. And it seems to me that Elijah just forgot that God knew all about him and his problems, his enemies, and what the solutions were to his problems. God knew it all. Yeah, man, I'm happy about that this morning. It must have just comforted the prophet's heart there to just see that to be reminded that God knows all about before we ever know anything. God knows. He's sovereign. It would do those of us good who have been through valleys, who are in valleys, good to remember that truth as well, though. God knows where you are. He knows what's happening in your life. Not even the small tell, small detail. Not even the small detail he misses. Y'all realize that, right? Amen. If he gives, if he takes, guess what? He's still God. If he takes that loved one away, guess what? You might not like to hear this, but he's still God.
Right. Yes, he is.
He's still God. He's going to be God. Job said in Job chapter 1, verse 21, he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen, friend. God gives and God takes away. It's God's plan. God knows what he's doing with his life, and if he gives or does any of that too often, we tend to do what the children of Israel done. Numbers chapter number 13. I read this verse. I'm almost done. I'm trying to be fast. Numbers chapter number 13 and verse number 31. The Bible says right there. Let's see. Verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature, and we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Our problem is, most of the time in our life, is we try to size up what's coming against us. We try to size up the problems that we have. They sized up the inhabitants of Canaan. They sized them up, and in all of our figuring, we fail to calculate the Lord in that. Right? We failed. He knows the situation. He brought us to the place. And if He brings you to it, He'll bring you through it, friend. That's just God. Amen. He has the provisions already in place to meet our needs and get us out of the valley. And if it all comes down to us coming to the place where we can simply trust Him to be all we need. Amen. All the time. After all, that is just who God is. Amen. It involved a new commission, involved a new comfort. Lastly, I'm done. This is exactly what I wanted to get to this morning. Thank the Lord. It involved a new companion. Amen. They enjoyed fellowship. They enjoyed fellowship. When Elijah went into the wilderness, he left his servant, in verse number 3, back in Beersheba. And he was all alone. And God knew that it was not good for him to be alone. So He gave him a man named Elisha. Thank the Lord. This is going to be very, very personal. But thank the Lord for Elisha. Thank the Lord for Elisha. Elisha was to be a companion to Elijah and would take Elijah's place in the ministry when his ended. How about that? God gave him a man who was like-minded. Elisha was a man with whom Elijah could fellowship with. And they both shared a common call from God, and they both wanted to see the Lord honored and the Lord magnified and the Lord glorified. And these were men who could get together and fellowship. And you know, thank God for the fellowship of the saints. Don't y'all know it's the will of God for saints to fellowship? Amen. I really don't think any of us know just how desperately we need each other in this time. How desperately we need each other. I tell you, beloved, I thank God for my Elisha. I thank God for my Elisha. He was, and he is a blessing from the Lord. Maybe one day we'll get down the road and He can pick up my mantle and take it on, friend. I want Him to have it. Friend, I believe this was a huge reason for Elijah to go on. Amen. Don't get quiet on me, y'all. You're all right, right? I tell you, that's why I stand here today and say, if it's just for Elisha, I'll go on. Amen. Very personal. My friend, God calls none of us to go alone. Y'all realize that? He called us to be active in His work, seeking fellowship for His people, from His people. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us that. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. I read this story. I want to share it with you. A pastor was visiting a member who had begun to miss a lot of church. And as they sat near the man's open fireplace, the pastor tried to encourage the man to get back in church and in fellowship of other believers. The wayward member responded by saying, "Preacher, I don't need to go to church. I can do just as well here at home by myself." Without saying a word, the pastor picked up a pair of tongs and removed one cherry red coal from the midst of the fire. He laid this coal by itself on the hearth. Neither man said a word as the coal turned from bright cherry red to a dull gray. In just a few minutes, the backslidden member turned to the pastor and said, "I'll be at church Sunday morning." He got the message. Friend, that's what it's all about. Beloved, if you can get the same at home and do all of that at home, we will make sure to send you your personal tithing envelope and your personal mission envelope. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Your personal tithing envelope and your personal mission and your personal pastor will send him home too. In the mail. Amen. For it's not the will of God to be that way. It's not. It's the will of God to pay your tithes. It's God's anyways. Amen. It's the will of God to pay missions. That's God's heartbeat at you as you know it, friend. That is God's heartbeat, is to pay missions. And also, it's God's heartbeat and it's God's will for you to be under one of God's men. Because you can't live without a pastor. Because why? You say, preacher, I can live without a pastor. What's to do? Wait until your funeral comes. Wait until somebody else's funeral comes. Wait until you got a wayward child out in the world and you need somebody to pray. Wait until you need to get married. I know people marry. I know all that kind of stuff. But wait until you need some help. Listen, I've had multiple people who have come to this church, stayed in this church for a little while, left, and then they got on the street again and called me and needed help. You know what we done? We helped them. Because of long suffering. But let me just say this, and I'll be done with this. You can't help nobody that don't want help. And here's the thing, friend, is that here we are at this place, and God wants us to be in His will, and it's God's will for us to assemble and to fellowship one with another. We need the brethren. Amen. That's God's will. They enjoyed fellowship. They enjoyed friendship. I like the concluding thought of this chapter here in this. The Bible says, then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. God knew that the burdens Elijah carried were too heavy for him to bear alone. We're supposed to bear up one another's burden. We're supposed to help carry the yoke together. You put an oxen, a yoke, a double yoke, which is how they are. You put them in there one at a time and leave one in there and let him go at it and see how good he tills the ground. Friend, you know what's going to happen? He's going to go in a circle. Put a donkey on one side and put a mule on one side. Put the ox on the other side. You know what's going to happen? They're still going to go in a very long circle. Amen, friend. I'm saying is that we're here together. We're supposed to bear the yoke and do that together. Friend, God knew that Elijah's burdens were too hard for him to bear, so he gave him a confidant, a friend, a peer. I'll be honest, friend. Oftentimes, in my thoughts of giving up, yeah, I've got to that point. Oftentimes, I still get to that point. But I can just look into my Elisha's eyes. And y'all know how he is. He smiles with them eyeballs. You can see the smile from a mile away with his mouth covered. With his pasien, he'll smile with them eyeballs. I can look into that after a long day of work or a Monday when I didn't think I was going to make it through it. I can look in the eyes of my Elisha and I can step back and realize that I have one more step to take, one more move to make, one more message to preach, one more voice to lift, because if it's just for Elisha, I'm going to go on, thank God. Amen. Amen, friend. Hallelujah, friend. I can cry aloud one more time just because it might be him. But Elisha here gave him one to walk beside him through the valleys, through the difficult times of life. Notice that God told Elijah to meet three people. Did y'all notice that? He told him to go in verse number 15 and meet Hazael and anoint him king. He told him to go and meet Jehu and anoint him king over Israel. And then he goes on and tells him to meet Elijah and anoint him prophet. Here's the thing about it though. Here's the thing about it. As we go down, you'll find how they're written out, right? Everybody see how they're written out. Go through Syria and do that. Everybody seen that? It said that Hazael was going to be first. Go through Syria and anoint him king of Syria. Then go to Jehu and anoint him king of Israel. And then go to Elisha. Is that right? Look down in verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Hey, say, friend, as he went through that, that Elisha is the first one in which Elijah meets along the way. Maybe God had it planned this way. Listen, I know that God's a sovereign God, but y'all know how I feel about things. God is coming along. God had it planned for Elijah to go to Hazael, anoint him king of Syria. Go to Jehu, anoint him king. And maybe God just knew, and God being the compassionate Father in which He is, the everlasting King, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, everlasting Counselor, the Almighty Counselor. He is that to us. And God knew that Elijah could not make it to Syria, and so He changed His mind. I don't know. Listen, I'm very figuratively speaking here. Y'all just be careful in what I'm saying and listen to me closely. What He saying is that he knew that Elijah needed Elisha first. And so he sent him on his way. It just happened to be the will of God. He told him to go meet him in his house. He said, you anoint him in your room. Verse number 16, I think it is. You anoint him in your room, in thy room. At the end of that verse. I anoint him in thy room. But here comes Elisha walking down the way, the providential act of God to give him some help along the way. Bear that burden to go on with him. God puts this man in the prophet's life to help him. The word minister means to attend to contribute to serve. That's what that word means. And this describes the kind of friend Elisha was to Elijah. He filled a void in the life of the man of God and helped him fulfill his task and calling. I believe I can truly say that my Elisha has been that, and he's only 8 months old. I believe that. I believe it. I thank the Lord for it. Whether we like to admit it or not, we all need that kind of personal ministry from time to time. We need friends. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 said, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. Basically, we don't need to cut ourselves off from other people. We need friends, we need companions as we go through this life, and what a blessing it is to have somebody to confide in. Amen. To have a friend who hurts with you, who helps you to bear life's loads, who prays for you, who prays with you, who cries with you, and even when they don't understand, will still love you. That's a good friend. Certainly we have that kind of ministry in the Holy Ghost, of course. We have that kind of ministry in the Holy Ghost. But then there's the Lord Jesus, who the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man that sticketh closer than a brother. He's one that sticks closer than a brother, right? He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. However, we still need human interaction. We do. I'm thankful for the friends I have. Very few, but needed. Very few real friends, but needed. I need every one of them. I tell you something, friend, is that they say that if you have one or two friends, real friends, then you can count yourself a king. I mean, really, you can count yourself honored, rich, wealthy. In that extent. And I tell you, that's the truth, friend. I'm thankful for friends I have. I'm thankful for the wife I have. I'm thankful for the son I have. Let us resolve to ask God to put someone in our life who will help us to be accountable to the Lord. That's what friends are for, by the way, to help hold you accountable. Amen? Amen. You ought to be held accountable to the Lord for your actions. Somebody's got to do it. That's why you need a man of God, first of all. Second of all, you need a friend. A good godly friend. It's just, imagine the ministry though that Elisha had in the life of Elijah. Led him all the way to the end of his life. They went through some places at that point in time. My friend. I tell you something, they went through so many places as they found themselves all the way at the end of their life. They went through the place of Gilgal. They went through Gilgal. They went through Bethel. They went through Jericho. They went through Jordan. Found themselves all the way through that. Why? Why did they go through that's the place where the Gilgal of your life. That's a type of us when we were sin, the sins were rolled back, where the stagnant's at. Bethel, you know what that is? Anybody? The house of God. Shows us right after Gilgal, we need to go to the house of God. Man, that's good. That's where the strength is renewed. Yeah, man. There's Jericho. There's Jericho. That's where help happens. That's where things happen there. And then there's Jordan. We cross it home, friend. Yeah, man, that's our life. And they cross through some places. And I tell you this morning, as you're closing your Bibles, you can stand to your feet. May we all remember that a true friend is blessed, a blessing beyond the value of words in our life. As this chapter in the life of Elijah comes to an end, we find him well on the road to recovery. And if you need to come pray this morning, these altars are open right now. And I don't know what you got. If you just feel like you've just been wanting to quit, you wanting to give up, you got a trial, you got a valley, this and that, find yourself around the altar. God help that. He's a friend that stick closer than a brother. Or if you just don't feel like you just don't have nobody looking up to you, you don't have this, you don't have that, it'd be a good time. It'd be a good time to say, Lord, just help me keep going on. If it's just for your Elisha, if it's just for your Elisha, go on. If it's just for your Micaiah, go on. If it's just for that, we can go on. Maybe you're discouraged, you're defeated, or I don't know. Maybe just you need that ministry today. You can get it. You can get it from the Lord. You can get it from the Lord this morning. And I tell you, He's waiting. Thank the Lord this morning. If it's just for your Elisha, go on.